Hello and welcome to the Advocacy Institute's Expert on the Record. Today is October 8th, 2021, and this is Candace Cordiella, Director of the Advocacy Institute. We're very pleased to be speaking today with one of the nation's leading experts on assistive technology, or AT, for students with disabilities, Dr. Dave Eddyburn. Dr. Eddyburn is Senior Research Scientist and Professor Emeritus at the University of Wisconsin at Milwaukee. Dr. Eddyburn has recently updated his article on AT advocacy for the Advocacy Institute. It provides tips on negotiating assistive technology in individualized education programs, or IEPs, in order to satisfy the requirements of the IDEA. The article is available in our Advocacy in Action section. Today, we're talking about with Dr. Eddyburn about the unprecedented education funding that is being sent to states and local school districts authorized by the American Rescue Plan Act, passed by Congress in March of 2021. The American Rescue Plan, as we will call it, refer to it as the ARP, is sending an average of $2,500 per student to local school districts across the nation. Districts with high enrollment of low-income students receive significantly more money. For example, Los Angeles Unified School District in California will receive $11,000 per student through the American Rescue Plan Act. Dave, can you tell us the intent of the education funds provided by the ARP?
Sure. The American Rescue Plan, which you named as the ARP, is also known as ESSER III, given the phases of funding. It allocates over $122 billion in new funding. And the congressional intent was to enable states, or what we call state education agencies, SEAs, and local education agencies, LEAs, to support students who have been most severely impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic and are likely to have suffered the most because of longstanding inequities. Obviously, that includes students with disabilities as well as other students.
Right. And, you know, one recent survey that was conducted by the National Parents Union found that only 46% of parents have heard about the funding that schools are receiving through the federal government and how those funds can be used. How can parents find out about their ARP funds for their local school district and how the district plans to use those funds?
Candace, this is really an important question, so I'm glad we're able to talk about it today. The U.S. Department of Education requires each state to prepare and submit a plan on how they intend to use the funds. By the same token, each state requires the local education agencies to prepare and submit a plan for how they will use the funds. However, one important issue that has not received much media attention is that the LEAs are supposed to gather community input as they develop their plan. So depending on the timeline of when the state released their call for proposals and plan and the turnaround time, communities and parents, families may have more or less knowledge about this process. All this being said, the local plans may be available on the local school district website or the state education agency website. The funding requires some transparency in how the funds are allocated and used. So if you can't find it on the web, then you can always follow up by contacting the local superintendent, director of special ed, and inquire about how to obtain a copy of the plan that outlines the local priorities for spending the ARP funds.
Right, and you know the regulations that were released by the U.S. Department of Ed outlining how LEAs were supposed to go about building their plan includes a requirement that that plan be posted on the LEA website. And I can tell you that over the last week or 2 weeks, I have been looking for plans, and some of them are relatively easy to find, and a lot of places they're almost impossible to find. And I know that the deadline has passed for that that particular LEA to have submitted their plan. So I know that, you know, it's been produced, and yet I can't find it on their website. So, you know, this may not be an easy search, but your advice is well taken, that they, if all else fails, you can contact the local superintendent or communications person or somebody in the district to help locate the plan. So does the availability of these funds present an opportunity to get more assistive technology to students with disabilities?
Yes. The funding specifically includes a supplement of $3 billion to support students with disabilities through a one-time allocation, a supplemental allocation to IDEA. As I think about the past 30 years, there's never been a more opportune time to evaluate and acquire AT to support students with disabilities. This is an area that the pandemic exposed additional need, and so these funds have been particularly targeted to try and remediate students' access to technology, the curriculum, and the benefits. So some examples that are generally permissible that, that parents and families can think about if they talk with their child's teacher in the school district. Allowable expenses include things like purchasing mobile devices, assistive technologies for use in school and at home, access to the internet, and these things all should be aligned with the district's comprehensive needs assessment and school-wide plan. But if they do, then these are all allowable expenses, and so that should help have these conversations that taking cost out of the equation about what a student needs. Other examples include the purchase of technologies to support remote learning. The pandemic revealed that many students didn't have assistive technology, or they didn't have the assistive technology they needed at home. And so there's a tremendous need for buying additional devices, as well as training and support. And training includes training for staff on how to use these technology tools, as well as training for families. And certainly something else that came out is we had to do virtual meetings, where the kinds of supports we need to do virtual IEP meetings. These are all examples of allowable expenses that as the IEP team convenes, we should be about and thinking about what a child needs to receive a free appropriate public education.
Right, and thanks for that. And thanks for mentioning the supplemental IDEA funds that were part of the rescue plan. We were certainly happy to receive those supplemental dollars. But just to point out that's the rescue plan ESSER funds are also available to students with disabilities, and particularly, as you point out, being one of the most significantly impacted groups of students. So there's actually two pots of money that can be used to provide assistive technology for students with disabilities. So we don't want for people to think that because the IDEA was given some supplemental money in the rescue plan, that's the only pot of money that can be used for AT for students with disabilities. So
that's a great clarification. So
yeah.
Thank you. Yes.
So, because I've actually heard that from some people already, and it's very unfortunate that's a rumor. So, according to the U.S. Department of Education, many elementary and secondary school students with disabilities have experienced significant disruption to the education and related aids and services needed to support their academic progress and prevent regression. And there are signs that these disruptions may be exacerbating long-standing disability-based disparities in their academic achievement, which are already there. What role can AT play in addressing these issues?
Yeah. That's a very timely question, Candace, and I think something that as IEP teams convene, we've really got to struggle with to say what has been the effect over the last 18 months and how do we think about this. U.S. Department of Education, their Office of Special Education Programs, OSEP, just on September 30th released a new COVID-19 Q&A. And if people are interested in tracking it down, the document is OSEP QA 20-01. and it's titled Return to School Roadmap, Development and Implementation of Individualized Education Programs. And it specifically addresses the role of assistive technology and Wi-Fi connectivity as an essential component of a fully appropriate public education in both remote instructional settings as well as return to classroom instruction. And so this guidance by the federal government leaves no doubt that these expenses are allowable and encouraged to be part of a larger plan about closing achievement gaps and addressing historical failures to achieve. So parents and educators should be very attentive to evaluate the need for AT. In many situations, families and teachers learn that students had undiagnosed AT needs during the pandemic. They needed additional supports on their home computer for remote instruction or on a district-issued mobile device if assistive technology was not installed. And then finally, for many families, Wi-Fi connectivity was a problem. And so the law does allow for purchasing Wi-Fi access for families, in addition to what we mentioned earlier about the training that's needed for teachers, students, and families to make good use of all these tools. Finally, a theme throughout the pandemic was the accessibility of educational materials, apps, and platforms that we've been held accountable to buy accessible technologies and educational materials, but the pandemic exposed a tremendous gap in terms of materials that were supposed to be accessible but were not. So all in all, we must give careful thought to developing an understanding of how the pandemic has affected a child and whether the child received appropriate services to support their skill development and progress towards the child's annual IEP goals. And if not, then it is time for additional action and investment to get the pieces in place that we need to move on and past the pandemic.
Yes, that's great. We were excited to see that guidance come out, and we were particularly happy to see that it expressly addresses assistive technology as that consideration of a special factor in the IEP development process. So we would recommend that parents and advocates be sure to get a copy of this new guidance and use it to advocate for their students' needs in IEP meetings. In fact, you know, as both a parent of a student with an IEP for her entire school career, as well as an advocate working with families for many, many years, I always took these documents to the IEP meetings. Don't just rely on, you know, on being able to recall what it said, because the advantage of that is that when you come to a impasse, such as those that you have outlined in your new article for us, then you can just say, let's all open our guidance to page blah, blah, and read this together and see if we can't sort this out, because there's, it just makes it a lot easier than trying to be confrontational without the documentation at hand. And to your point, the guidance makes it clear that because of the lack of instruction that has occurred over the past 18 months, there's probably, without exception, a need for IEPs to be revised, including the need for compensatory services, extended school year services, assistive technology. All of those things need to be revisited to make sure that the current IEP is providing everything that the student needs to be sure that they receive a free, appropriate public education in this school year. So do you have any final thoughts to share with parents and advocates before we wrap up?
No, I enjoyed this conversation, and I think your efforts to highlight the opportunity through this funding is really critical. I guess in the past, many parents have experienced a reluctance on the part of school officials to purchase AT because of cost,
yes,
even though that's an allowable defense. But these new funding streams are explicitly designed to make the investments to address historical inequities. And so this is a great time for AT advocacy and your center, and as well as the state parent training and information centers, can be a really valuable source of information for parents and advocates as we try to make the most of this opportunity. What we've seen in earlier rounds of ESSER funding is that all the funds were used. And so we really should be aggressive in trying to make plans that provide the access and the opportunity for students, because the funding is not the issue. I think this is really a question of vision about what is it that we need and what are the supports that we need to build into our learning environments for students. So thank you for the chance to have this opportunity, and best wishes here as we continue to work together.
Well, thank you for spending time with us and for all of your work on behalf of students with disabilities. And it has always been a pleasure to work with you over the past many years. We won't age ourselves by telling people how long we've been working together, Dave. we'll leave it at that. So thank you again for everything you do, and we are just so grateful for all of your wonderful